people out here with me. Can you tell the people what's your name, sir?
Man, it's Pope Beezy, turn up specialist, the Flies Big Nigga. You know.
Okay.
Representing the O, baby. Let's
go. Okay, what he said, representing the O.
Yeah.
So what brings you out here?
Man, I was hungry as hell walking down the street, trying to find me some lemon pepper wings. And they was like, hey, man, come in here, free shot. So then, you know, the girls heard that. They just ran in.
Yeah.
I just followed behind them. And then they had a bunch of dope shit going on. Nigga ended up with a grill, two baby mamas, and a 401k plan. So we just out there, bitch.
What he said, yeah. That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good. That was
good. Okay, man, one of y'all on Edgewood. We are actually on Edgewood, to be exact. We at Grills by Scotty. I got my co-host with me, Erica Dutchies. Please make sure you hear it. I'm excited about today's episode.
Yeah, me too.
It's not all the time that we have like a legendary athlete ball player come on the show.
Yeah.
You know, he's not only a ball player, but he's playing on two. Okay. And this man is doing some very good things in the community as well.
Mm-hmm.
The way he came into the league in the system, I feel like it's very legendary in itself. You know what I'm saying? I look up to this guy because for everything that he's accomplished, he's still a very humble individual. And I really respect it, and I really like it. Can we please make some noise and put our hands together for Luke Green?
Thank you.
What song was that, by the way?
That was, you know, it was always like do some other shit. That's my single from last summer. Big Tuff featuring 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne.
So
good. They asked for a song I wanted to play. I said, shit, I'm still screaming. Be like, that. Let's go. That's it. Why you in the air today, man?
So you are originally from Memphis?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then. And you came to Atlanta. Wait, what grade were you in when you came to
Atlanta? I came to Atlanta sixth grade. Yeah, sixth grade. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Black Haven Zone. For anybody familiar with Fuck Memphis, I was a troubled youth.
Okay.
And my mom said, I got to get him out of here. Man, he tripping.
How was this all?
Product of my environment, man. My dad passed away when I was 9. About 6 months after that, my brother got sentenced to 10 years bedtime. I was the baby boy in the family, and my mom just said, this ain't the environment, so I'm no more. So, you know, she took me up in the streets to Atlanta. Probably saved my life, but
gone. Your dad passed away at 9 years old. How do you feel like that affected you growing up?
Affected everything. I had a very functional, healthy relationship with my pops. You know what I'm saying? Him and my mom, they weren't together, but he's very active in my life. And so, you know, being that young and trying to learn things, and my dad, he used to pull up on me. He used to give me a lot of money in a rubber band. He'd flick it and like, push bankroll in your pocket. You know what I'm saying? But at that time, it probably wasn't no more than $15, $20.
Right.
$15, $20 the bankroll. But, you know, just teaching me about being a man, how to carry myself, you know what I'm saying? Defending myself. I got into a fight at school. My mama wanted to discipline me. My dad asked, did I win the fight? I told me, yeah. He looked at my mom and said, well, what you mean? Well,
I'm first.
Yes. So just them light blessings of being a young kid, man, moving around in the inner city, trying to figure it out. My pops was very instrumental to my daughter of mine.
Wow. Right? That's cool, boy. I'm sure that
And so you moved to Atlanta sixth grade. By seventh grade, you was one of the hottest basketball players in the league at that age, right?
You were
playing AAU ball, or
yeah, just being a kid, bro. I played football, baseball, basketball. Basketball stuck. I thought they hit some harder. Football, I thought they pitched too fast in baseball, but I had a jump shot.
Oh, yeah.
I says, I'm gonna go over there. I'm gonna stay on this blacktop. And then by the time I got to Atlanta, my mom, just trying to keep me busy, trying to keep me active, signed me up for every match, signed me up for in the city. And first thing I went to was the Atlanta Celtics tryout. Now come in. They said, if y'all familiar with basketball hoops in the city, the Atlanta Celtics are, you know, a staple in youth sports, a staple in AAU basketball. And it was, I tried out for them. It just so happened, they used to practice, I think, down at Fourth Ward. Dad, we was out, we was out in Long Pleasant Hill, out of Doraville. She felt like the community's too far. So I ended up signing up with a local little team. And that just grew into my love of basketball. And eventually I won big time, played for the Georgia Stars by my ninth grade.
I hear about it, Georgia. I
started giving Atlanta Celtics headaches by that time. They just had full circle, but that was just me learning how to hoop. It was just my mom trying to keep me at.
Man. And so you went on to play at South Gwinnett.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
What's a New Wales basketball game like? What is in the mind frame of a game on the weekend in high school?
Surreal. Sounds like I'm looking back at it. I thought everybody was hopping like I was fine.
Sorry. No, we wasn't.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the only experience I know.
Right.
I only knew packed out gyms. I only knew celebrities pulling up. I only knew you sell us season tickets to ice cream gang. So I thought, doesn't anybody have an experience? And now looking back, I'm realizing that, we had a lot of cool, I want to say success with the kids, you know what I'm saying? But we just had a lot of fun experiences, man, and just growing. And, you know, when you ain't going to a county, it's a little different than being in a city, you know. So to have an opportunity to make people respect kids from that, you know, and just taking that on and people coming out there to support us, man, that was a dope experience.
Wow. So, like, being this big and having these many people coming out, were you, like, working harder than everybody else? Like, you know what I'm saying? Was you shooting late at night, feeling yourself shy?
No, I ain't gonna sit here and lie. Because, you know, we get in front of these cameras, we do.
Right.
I go out and make it sound like it was perfect. Nah, actually, that's for the game. Hot Cheetos and cold stomach chips, all that shit. Y'all, the antics store, it's all stop eating all that shit, burning up, playing through games. It was just trial and error, man. I was just talented. Luckily for me, I was able to go to the NBA out of high school. Got drafted when I was 17 years old, and that experience taught me how to work. So I'm glad I was still very, very young, but it was out, you know what I'm saying? Like, really learning how to be a professional as a kid is the hardest I ever worked in my life. Well, up until that point, I feel like I was more talented than I was spending there.
Now, so you just pass over this shit by you ain't say. You say you got trapped down high school.
Is that right in there?
Yeah, shut up. Do y'all understand? Because you can't even do that no more, right?
Yeah, we were stuck in 2005 was the last one.
We'll see. 2000, that was the class you was in.
Oh, yeah, I was trapped.
Okay, and so this is like, there's only a few people that got drafted out of high school. We could probably name on our hand. LeBron James, LeBron.
There's more of us than people realize. A lot of guys came out of high school. See, there's a lot of us that didn't stick. But there's a lot of
as many niggas as maybe in the NBA.
Kevin Garnett, LeBron James, or Kobe Bryant, T-Mac.
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
I didn't know J.R. Smith.
C.J. Biles. You're looking at or tell that ghost the Gerald Green.
You know, okay.
It's a lot of those things.
To you, it's a lot. That's 10 people.
See?
But think about how many niggas play in the NBA, man.
God, to the one else today. It's 4,000 total NBA players today.
And they have played, ever played
in 4,000.
Very small. Okay.
Very small community, but
and it's crazy.
So what you feel like you did differently to get drafted out of high school? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, what made them be like, I want to keep the wings.
You get up at 30.
Shit, and we just keeping it gangster. So like, I averaged 37 as a junior.
Right.
And I averaged another 37, 38 as a senior.
Then
it just got to the point the first time that I even heard that they was considering me to be able to go pro. Because at that time, you got to think that all the guys that went pro were giants already. Like, LeBron is a man already in high school. Dwight Howard, John Smith, by the way, let's start at the crib. There's a lot of guys that went out of high school.
Yeah.
They already 6'7", 6'8". They grown men. They built like grown men. Shit, I'm 6'2 today. I'm 6'2", 180 today. So imagine 2005, I'm in high school. I'm probably 165, soaking wet, 6 feet, but I was talented.
But,
and when the phone calls started coming in, I told my mom, I said, look, I don't even care where I get drafted. If I can go, I'm going.
Facts.
And she was like, you know, it's your future. Make your decision. And I looked at it as an internship, right? If I was going to be 17, 18 years old and I was going to get drafted, at least I'm already in the business that I want to be in. I might not play for a year or two or three. I have my opportunity later on down the road, but I have 2 or 3 years experience. So I have an opportunity to manifest and to fulfill my dream. And that's what happened. You know, I got drafted at 17. And I was Allen Iverson's backup. And if y'all Allen Iverson fans, y'all know he used to play 47 style. He never came out of game, so I never played. You know what I'm saying? It took me 2 years to get on the floor. When I was about 19, 20 years old, man, that was my coming out party. I never looked back. And I had an 18-year career.
Woo!
So looking back at all this, do you feel like missing your father gave you a lot of like push or like ambition to get what you got?
I don't know if it gave me ambition. It was just one of those things I always carried. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always just carried that thought because my dad only seen me play basketball one time. That's the craziest shit in the world. I don't know if I've said that in the interview before. I know my family has talked about it before, but my dad saw me play one time.
That's right.
So I always just carry it. I got a tattoo right here on my shoulder. So I always just carried it with me. You know what I'm saying? When passing at 9, 8 years later, being a pro, you know, that's a lot of time to heal. That's a lot of time to breathe, get off things. And so by that time in my life, I was kind of in a position where I was like, I'm just going to carry it. Like, you know, I'm going to make it
work. Wow.
Crazy, man. What, first day of practice, NBA, you show up. What's the first day of practice like?
One almost died. Well, how the NBA work is, you know, you'll get drafted, then you got like a month of summer league practices, and you're getting acquainted with the NBA style, the pro level of how you work, what's expected of you,
and then once you get to training camp, that's when you see your real team. That's when you see Allen Iverson. That's when you see Chris Webber. Like, they ain't nowhere to be found.
When you get to training camp.
Yeah, when you get to training camp, that's when you see the monsters for real.
Wow. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
But before that, it's just...
Before that, it's rookies, second-year guys.
Oh,
we okay. We working out. We in the gym. Then we go to summer league. We do that. Take a break. And then when you come back, that's when you really in the NBA.
Right.
So my first practice, my heart like...
Right.
And mind you, that's who I've patterned my game after. He's the reason I got cornrows today. Wow. He's the reason I got tattoos. That's somebody I've always mimicked and have a relationship with him to this day. Knowing him at that time, it was just like, bro, like Allen Iverson really sitting over there. You know what I'm saying? And so that experience alone was just, it was mind blowing, man. And my first practice, I just remember like, try not to look like a kid. I'm sorry for cursing in here. It's kids here. I'm gonna be respectful. It's all good. I was just trying to do everything perfect, man. And I don't know, man. It's real deal, bro.
Did you mess up?
Hell yeah. Each and every day after that.
For real.
Yeah.
Man, I can't even imagine because Michael Jordan was somebody I looked up to.
Yeah.
Growing up.
You ever met MJ?
I never met him before.
I met MJ twice.
For real?
Yeah, twice.
You played against him?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was, well, I didn't play against him in a professional capacity. I played against him my senior year in high school. He had the Jordan Capital Classic. He had an all-star. He had his own all-star game. He still do, I think. Wow. And we got invited to New York to go vibe with him. And he came to practice. And he was just playing one-on-one with us. And the coldest thing that MJ said, he got the ball. And Julian Wright was my teammate. He from Illinois.
Okay.
And Julian was guarding him. And Julian was like trying to push him, being super aggressive with MJ. And MJ had the ball out here like this, palming it like he always do. He said, young fella, it's 400 jobs in the NBA. If you can stop this, you can pick whichever one you want. Took one dribble, shimmy, fade away, cash money.
Oh my God.
That was my MJ experience. And wow, that's when I knew it's real levels. It's real
wow,
levels.
God.
Yeah.
Carmen Nicole.
Carmen Nicole.
Yes.
And Carmen Nicole, if you had a question to ask my boy Lil Will, what would...
So my question would be, if you were to be a character on any movie or TV show, what would it be?
Woo! And that's Word on the Street.
Yes.
That is a good question. If I could star any movie, any television show off the top of my head without thinking, I would be... I'd be the sixth member in Five Heartbeats.
Straight up. So you played with the 76ers for 7 years.
Yeah, my first seven.
Okay, you play, and people don't talk about this a lot, man, but like after the 7 years, then you went on and you got traded to another basketball team.
Free agency.
Free agency.
Yeah.
How does
I came home to the Hawks.
Mm-hmm. How what's the emotion like finding out, okay, I'm a free agent now, or I'm about to get traded now, or you know what I mean? What's the emotion?
Heartbroken
behind
at
it?
First.
Yeah,
heartbroken at first because, you know, like I said, you get drafted at 17, you leave when you're 25. So I basically became an adult in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people still think I'm from Philadelphia because...
Right, you got on the Philly hat, too. Huh?
Yeah, I represent.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a Braves fan, for real, but I just like to have the hat fit my head. So
okay.
When I'm having a bad hair day, I can throw this joint on. You know, but I was heartbroken because I felt like we were trending in the right direction. We had a lot of talent on that team. Like, looking back now that everybody, you know, this is 2012.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, Andre Iguodala, mm-hmm. Mo Spates, Drew Holiday, Evan Turner, Thad Young, Spencer Halls, Elton Brand, Tony Battee. Man, I feel like I'm missing somebody, but household names.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of household names. And my last season, we were an 8 seed, but we ended up upsetting Derrick Rose that year. Derrick Rose MVP year, we beat Chicago in the first round of the playoffs that year as an upset. Then the second round, we took Boston, who would go on that year to win the championship with the big three with Paul Pierce, KG, and Ray Allen. We took them to 7 games in the second round. So we felt like we were one of those young up-and-coming teams that was going to turn the corner if you kept us together. And they ended up broke their whole team up that summer. I walked away in free agency. They didn't want to pay me. I think Andre Iguodala was traded. Long story short, they just broke up the whole thing. So I thought I was going to be in Philly for a while. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so once that happened, I'm like, well, you know, where are you going to go? And I felt like the natural thing to do was to come to the crib.
And so.
And it was the worst thing I ever did because.
You said the worst?
Absolutely.
Why you say that?
Me playing for the Atlanta Hawks is the worst run I had in my whole career.
Why?
I probably just wasn't mature enough to play at home at that time.
And he was down here showing.
But you see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? I just, I probably just wasn't mature enough to play at home at that time. And then I tore my ACL my second season with the Hawks. So that whole first run with the Hawks is a wash.
Wow.
Yeah, worst run of my career.
Wow.
It's funny, I played the Hawks twice.
I know that.
Both times I played with the Hawks, my two worst runs of my career.
No.
I played 8 minutes a game my second time.
But is that like a thing you feel like when players play from their hometown, it's just almost like you just so comfortable.
Too comfortable. Huh. Too comfortable.
Too comfortable.
Too comfortable. Think right. about it. All your conference is here. So you have a bad game, get your ass whooped, lose by 30. What I'm going to do? I'm going to go to mama's house. She going to cook for me. Right. I'm going to go to my favorite little piece. I'm going to have that fun.
Right.
I'm going to go to my little restaurant. You know, I like the wings and whatnot. Right. You know, I'm going to go do everything. I never felt out of my comfort zone to where I had to lock back in. Like when you in Philly is one of those sports towns. If you don't have a good game and you go to dinner, they'll literally walk up to your table like, hey, man, take your ass home, bro. Like, tonight ain't your night.
That's some real shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you and know so, what? Atlanta not that. Not Atlanta, yeah, they won't do that. We're not a sports. You know what I'm saying? We care about sports, but we don't care to the point like other cities, like you saying, like, they'll boo your ass or they'll walk up to you and say something.
It's like, a lot of people like me in Atlanta, though. We all transplants. So we really ain't all the way committed to Atlanta sports culture, bro.
Wow.
I think that's the one thing, because Atlanta's a great sports town, but the only thing we're missing is our hometown people being champions. Like, I hate when you go to a Falcons game and the Chiefs coming to town this year, you'll see.
Right.
Like, it's going to be a problem in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to show up. The Dallas Cowboys coming to town this year.
The Saints.
They're going to show up when the Hawks play the Lakers. Think about that. When they play the Knicks. Think about that when they play Boston. Think about how many of those people are in our town.
That's real shit.
So so here in Atlanta, we got great sports energy, great sports town, but it feels like it ain't our own sometimes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think when we lost Michael Vick, bro, it just took something out of the city because we were so hyped.
You might be right, Scott.
I mean, that was like one of the times where I feel like the city was really behind football and sports. And we ain't had, even when Dominique played, I don't feel like it was like when Michael Vick played.
No, you're
everybody
right.
was behind that shit. And it felt like they just took it from us.
No, you might be right.
I started studying football
more. When Vick played?
Everybody in my family loved football. Even my mom.
Yeah.
You can't say nothing about football, she don't know about. But I went into football, I watched because it's the same. But when Michael Vick, I started knowing like everything. Like, what's
the Michael Vick experience.
Yeah, and I'm going out of town. Going out of town with my daddy. Because my daddy's a diehard. Going out of town with him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't stun that shit. But Michael Vick, let's go.
No, for real.
Wow. Yeah. Man. Okay. What do you feel like is one of the most, like, I know there's like a lot of pressure in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Is there pressure to perform in the games? To show up every night? Like, what's that like being in that spotlight playing basketball?
It's levels to it. I'll be honest with you. Like, I can't imagine what LeBron deal with on a day in, day out basis. You know what I'm saying? Right. Just from an expectation level. Like, dog is going into his 22nd season and we still tripping on whether they make the playoffs or not.
Right.
Like, so that's a different level of expectation. Like, that's kudos to his greatness. Like, he going into his 22nd year and his expectation level is so high that we got an expectation for his son.
Speaking of that,
you dig what I'm saying? So like, my experience is completely different from somebody of that caliber. Somebody like me, there is pressure to perform, because in any business, you got your top dogs, you got your superstar level people.
Right.
They going to be good. Then you got your middle class, then you got your low class, and that creates an environment where, you know, you got to perform in order for you to get paid, in order for you to eat. Mm. And on top of that, just carving out your own legacy. You know what I'm saying? So it's different pressures day in and day out. Mm. Different pressures, man.
How do you feel about LeBron, Bronny collaboration? Do you feel
we should be ashamed of ourselves?
Really? Why you say that?
Hell yeah. Because, like, allow that kid just to be a kid. And if we're not going to allow him to be a kid and we're going to judge him as a grown man, allow him to be his own grown man at least.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, never in the history of basketball have anybody in this room that like basketball cared about a 55th pick. It's never been no pressure on somebody to be as great as they are at a 55th pick, right? So Rich Paul, who is Bronny's agent, has said publicly, the kid said the only thing that he wants to get out of the draft is to hear his name called, right? Got his name called. Now he has an opportunity to pave his own way. But instead of us allowing him to just pave his own way, we worrying about whether he can shoot or whether he can dribble or this and that, or his dad rigged it up. Like, let me tell y'all something. Yes, LeBron has power. Yes, he got juice. But you got to be good enough to be for your dad to even exercise that juice.
That's real.
You got to be good enough for him to even exercise that. So give that kid credit for that. Nigga just had heart surgery 2 years ago. We don't even talk about that.
Wow, man.
So for that young dude, man, to have heart surgery, the pressures that he's had and dealing with it, how he's dealing with it and still striving and still having an opportunity to be great on his own, just take it for what it's worth. Judge Bronny James on Bronny James. Don't judge him on how you like LeBron. Just allow him to be his own man. And respect, and for real.
Chop it up.
For real. Wow. It's a lot. It's a lot. I feel bad for him because we talk about this kid so much and we never hear him say a word.
You got an interesting perspective though, because you've been somewhere in his position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, like, as a spectator, sometimes I think we do expect too much from these players, kids. You see them as a kid.
Yeah.
Well, I may not see him as that. I see him
as LeBron's son.
As LeBron's son.
Yeah.
You feel me? So in my mind, I'm thinking, damn, they gonna win the championship. They better win the championship. That's not, I ain't gonna lie. That's what's in my mind.
It's an unrealistic expectation, bro.
Right.
From top to bottom. Again, LeBron is in his 22nd year. He's 40 years old. And we talking about championships still.
Wow.
That's a testament to his greatness, bro. And that trickles down to everything that's going on around him, down to his son. Like, oh, he shouldn't be, he taken away from, like, who job he taking? Like who?
Right.
Who job is he taking? Like, cool. For this the first time that it worked for us. Bron said, right, y'all better go get my son or
I'm leaving.
I'm gonna exercise my power. What's the problem with that? If everybody in this room would do it if they could. Everybody in this room would do it if they could, especially for their son. Like, one thing I respect about LeBron, and Bron is my GOAT, by the way.
Right.
Like, we can debate that all day. Because of what he's been able to do from a business standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, and from a standpoint of expectation, like we talked about. Mm-hmm. We talking about somebody that's been in the public eye for 25 years and don't got one scandal on his name.
The one
scandal that we got on his name was him going to Miami. And even that decision was him saying, I'm in control of my career.
Right.
So I don't care what y'all want me to do. I don't care what y'all saying is weak. I don't care about none of that. I'm going to be in control of business decisions when it comes to LeBron James Inc. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're in a position at 40 years old to tell a team, and he's been saying, like 5-6 years, we've been hearing Bron say, I want to play with my kids. I want to play with my son. Yeah, right. So when it finally get there and I can nudge it a little bit, what's the problem? What's the problem? He's done it for his teammates. Why wouldn't you do it for his son? Like, I don't think people remember when he went back to Cleveland, Bron wouldn't sign his contract. He wouldn't sign an extension until they paid J.R. Smith, until they paid Tristan Thompson.
Wow.
I think Dellavedova. He made sure all his people got paid. He made sure all his guys got paid. And then he re-signed. And when he re-signed, he said, you know what? I'm going to sign a one. I'm going to sign a two. But I'm going to do a 1 year. And I'm going to do a player option on a second one. And let me see how this go. He got his chip. He said, I owe y'all nothing. We even. I'm gone. Right? So when you get to this point and you are the Michael Jordan of our time, you have that right to hold your nuts and be like, make sure my son's straight, and we cool.
I would have did that too, though.
No, for real.
I ain't gonna lie.
For real.
You know what? And I gotta keep it here. We're gonna move on, but you really kind of changed my perspective on LeBron James today. I'm a Michael Jordan fan.
Yeah.
You know, so I've always kind of compared LeBron to Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I never really compared LeBron to LeBron. And hearing some of the things you saying, like him making sure his teammates got paid, shit like that, him being 40, and we still talking about this.
Bro, we can talk this hoop shit. We can talk this hoop shit all day. Like, like out of our three GOATs, Bron, Kobe, MJ. Kobe and MJ didn't have the pressure that LeBron James. Bron was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 13.
I didn't know that.
When he was 13, bro. And what, 27 years later, we are still talking about this motherfucker, man. We still talking about him.
Right.
27 years later.
And he's still playing, too. And that was crazy about it.
He's still there. Like, wow. MJ was great in college. He was the third pick. He was a great prospect, but he wasn't touted to be the greatest. He had a teammate on North Carolina in James Worthy that a lot of people felt like was going to be
bigger than him. Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, he was a kid that came out of high school that grew up in Italy. We really didn't know Kobe. He didn't play high school basketball over here.
Wow.
So he didn't have that expectation that Bron had. Neither one of them had what Bron had. And so for him to still be here, and not even to mention, let's talk about his homies. Like Rich Paul, we know Rich Paul as an agent now. Rich Paul is literally LeBron's best friend from kids. Yeah. That's his best friend. But look at the shit that he's been able to put together.
Right.
Maverick Carter is another one. Look what Mav has been able to put together. Look what Randy has been able to put together. All four of them guys stand alone in all of their respective fields, and that starts off the back of LeBron James and them being homeboys. He's the athlete that we all strive to be. Like, we all want to make a bunch of money, put our homeboys in position, and everybody's self-sufficient. The reality is that shit don't work like that. Because sometimes we want it more for our homies than they want it for themselves.
Right.
His homies seen the writing on the wall, like, yo, we right next to the biggest thing in the world, we going to get right. And now we're looking at that, and it's a real thing. They manifested that, and we can sit back. So the body of work that LeBron James has been putting in, y'all can say he can't shoot, or he done lost all these champs. That man has never lost. That's why he my GOAT, from top to bottom.
Wow. So, what up, man? It's your boy, Scotty ATL. We live with my dog, Lou Williams, man. You know we had to get you a grill. You had grill
together.
By Scotty. You feel me?
You got a container or something? I can try to keep up with my grill?
I got a nice Grills by Scotty bag, and I'm working on a new container. I ain't gonna lie to you.
There you go.
Maybe I can make you a special one just for
the grill.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Who the first person you ever saw with a grill?
MJG and A-Ball.
For real?
Yeah. That's off the top of my head. Memphis 10.
Off Memphis 10. That's
yeah,
right.
That's what,
MJG's
yeah.
birthday was yeah. actually
but
just
in
yesterday.
My neighborhood, everybody got gold teeth.
Fast.
But if it's somebody everybody recognizes, it's going to be A-Ball MJG.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, what we going to do for you today? We doing the bottle?
Let's do it. Let's do some fangs or something. Let's keep it clean. All
right.
Let's keep it clean.
Real like that, man.
I might have to go Scotty on top, bottom, all go.
You ain't gonna do that, man. Now, we were having this conversation about MJ, Kobe, and LeBron. Now, like I said, I feel like MJ is just, I don't know, man.
It's generational, bro. You're slightly older than me, so that can be your opinion. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like,
but you still put LeBron on top before Kobe. I feel like that's more of your era.
No, Bron. But see, Bron is my personal partner. Like, so
you can't say Bron.
Well, I can because he put the work in. It ain't like I'm just.
I'm fucking
with Bron. Yeah, it ain't like it's my homeboy from up the street. Like LeBron still.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna say this too, though. I recently found out LeBron is from Capricorn.
Okay.
So I fought with him a little bit more.
Okay.
Because he played real good in the Olympics this past season. He did. Durant did his thing too.
Yeah. Captain America.
Steph went crazy.
Captain America. Hey, shout out to Steph. Steph
went crazy.
That being his first time at the Olympics, he made it memorable. That was fire.
I can't believe that nigga hit them LeBron, they won. That's true though. If it wasn't for LeBron, they wouldn't have won. Steph went crazy. I ain't gonna lie. He did some shit. I was like,
impressed. Right.
We just got to start realizing when it come to LeBron, when it come to Steph, when it come to KD, yeah. We are in the last days. So we got to stop doing all the hating, stop picking them apart, and start cherishing these guys for their greatness, because we are in the last days. Like, how long is Bron gonna play? Steph 36, KD 36. Like,
they man next though.
Hell yeah.
He next though.
100%. West side.
East side,
man.
West side. Hey, look, while Lou is getting voted up, man, I'm gonna get into my smile fact for the day. Smiling has been shown to improve athletic performance by helping athletes relax and reduce tension. This can lead to better focus, increased endurance, and improved coordination, particularly in high-pressure situations. So shout out to all the athletes out there that smile while they're kicking somebody. This your boy Scotty ATL. This your smile fan for the day, brought to you by Grills by Scotty. Not yet, and that's it.
So, man, it's a lot of controversy around the Lou Williams wings at Magic City.
I earned that.
But you want me to tell you something? No, I got to give you this because I did my research. You wasn't just out kicking it. And I think a lot of people thought you were just out kicking it.
They thought I was on some
goofy. You was handling some family business.
Yeah, that's what I didn't like about the whole thing. I didn't appreciate how the media was trying to spin me into being a goofy. You know, like, we got a class of goofies in the NBA. They was trying to put me in that class. And it just spiraled out of control. Like, it spiraled out of, I snuck out of the bubble to go get wings. Like, first of all, I'm in Orlando, Florida. If I snuck out of a bubble to go get wings in Atlanta, by all means, call me the goofiest motherfucker you ever heard
right,
of.
Right.
I left for a funeral. Mm-hmm. I've been living in a hotel. Mm-hmm. Everybody in here done stayed at a hotel before.
Right.
It's only so many times you can order room service. I wanted something.
You from this, and you from here.
I wanted something that felt good. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And so, exactly.
I thought I did the responsible thing by going at 5 p.m.
Which is responsible.
Looking back, like, nobody was pandemic experts at that time. I ain't never been in no pandemic. Like, this ain't 1920. I don't know nothing about gangrene and all that. Like,
right.
So they never told people that it was a doctor traveling with me. They never told people that I was getting COVID tested 3 times a day.
Wow.
They never told people that by the time the news hit, I was already back in the bubble. They just let it spiral out of control. They just let it turn into I snuck out. I was out partying. Lemon pepper Lou, and I ain't even had lemon pepper wings. That's just
you didn't have lemon pepper?
No.
You lied.
I didn't even have lemon pepper.
What fucking kind of wings did you have?
They was just regular hot. You know who came up? Shannon Sharp did that.
What?
Shannon Sharp did that because Sharp, he called me. He just on air one day said lemon pepper Lou, and that shit stuck. It is stuck. It just stuck.
Hot wings.
I had hot wings.
All flesh.
I like a mix, though. I ain't tripping. As long as they crispy, I ain't tripping. Yeah, as long as they crispy, I ain't tripping.
Okay. God dang, man. That's enough for Lou Will, man. Yeah.
But look, Scotty, I want to get this off my name. So every chance I get to speak about it, I try to get it off my name. So 2017, I meet this cool white kid. He in the studio, but he vibing out to the music, whatever. But he like, yo, you really dope. And he telling me this about my music. So I lean over to my engineer, shout out KY. And I'm like, yo, who the fuck is the white kid? Mm-hmm. He like, oh, his name Jack Harlow. He from Louisville. He from my hometown. He trying to, he rap.
Right.
So I'm like, the little white kid right here, right? He rap? Like, yeah, he rap. He kind of dope. So I'm like, cool. But I'm vibing with Jack just because he vibing with me.
Right.
Don't know him, never heard his music, no nothing.
Wow.
Fast forward, 2021, Jack Harlow is the biggest rapper in the world.
Right.
With the number one record in the world.
Right.
That's my little brother by this time.
Right.
Run into him at Magic on this day.
Wow.
He walk in with KY. I'm like, oh shit, bro, we gotta take a shot. I'm so proud of you, bro. Like, we gotta take a shot together.
Right.
Jack says, you think we can take a picture? I said, I don't see why it'd be a problem if we take a picture. We both got our masks on. Right?
But did y'all mask on in the picture?
Yeah.
So okay, all right.
We take the picture holding up the shots. I got my mask on. He got his mask off, thinking we doing the responsible right thing.
Right.
So Jack posts the picture. Boom. Internet go crazy. Lou done snuck out the bubble. Lou is out the bubble. Lou out the bubble.
Oh.
So once Jack starts reading that, he deletes the picture and he says,
it's too late.
Yeah, too late. But shout out to Jack because he was trying to protect me.
Shout out to Jack.
Jack said, no, this is an old picture. Y'all relax. I'm just reminiscing. Right. But I had the bubble mask on. It was only mask that they gave us in the bubble when I had that mask on. So by him doing that, it did take on a life of people thinking that I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be.
Right.
But them folks was well aware of where I was at, where I ate lunch. Again, a doctor was traveling with me. But it took on a life of its own, and
that's
Lemon
crazy,
Pepper Lou now.
Dog.
You know what I'm saying?
Lemon Pepper Lou. I'm glad you cleared that up, man. I always wanted that. Now, let's take it back a little bit. 2014, you had two of them things. Now, I support mm-hmm. your activity, first of all.
Okay. He had two.
He had two girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
My girl got a girl, all that. All right, so I got an interesting question for you is, what's some of the pros and cons of having two girlfriends at one time?
And you got
some
long
feet. What they got to do
today? I'm reading between the lines. I ain't finna get it.
Okay, right.
We ain't finna do this here. We just established the kids is in here.
Okay.
The pros is the pros.
What's
cons?
The pros? It's the pros. What you mean, nigga?
The pros is the pros.
Okay.
The pros is the pros. The cons is it's two of everything. Boy, you gonna buy a car? That's two cars.
Ooh.
You want a bag? That's two bags.
Ooh.
You got an attitude? That's two attitudes. That's the cons, bro. It's two of everything.
All right, I can dig that. Make some noise for Lou Will, man.
That's it.
All right. So I want to switch gears a little bit. One thing I really like that I see you do a lot is you are in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own organization
mm-hmm.
where you coach.
Youth Women's Basketball.
Youth Women's Basketball.
Yeah, the name of our program is Winners United. That's also the Winners United is basically my house. Mm. It's just something I created actually. I just heard DJ Khaled yell out, "We the best." And I was like, "Winners United." I don't know why that took me there, but Khaled, I was just like, I need something like that.
Right.
And so I just created Winners United. That's where my label is housed.
Yep.
That's where all my multimedia stuff. And so I just use the name for everything. And we use that with the young ladies because in a lot of aspects, you know, we got kids all over the state of Georgia, even a few out of town. And, you know, they're successful and they're student athletes. They do their thing in the classroom, do their thing on the floor. And when they get together, they unite. They winners that's uniting. And so being in the AAU, you realize how corrupt it can be
mm-hmm.
Because you're looking at million-dollar babies. You know, mm-hmm. that's the reality of it. If you can find a kid that's 13, 14 years old, you think he can be a pro or you think she can be a pro, you're going to latch on to that kid. This my kid.
Right.
I want to coach this kid. This kid is in my program.
Yeah.
I grew up in that. And my daughter started playing basketball. And I just didn't want that to be her experience. I wanted her to be in a safe environment where she can be comfortable in playing AAU without somebody wanting something from her, without somebody trying to trick her into something, doing something she don't want to do, playing with kids that she don't want to play with. Mm-hmm. Mixing and matching with energy she just don't want to be involved in. So I decided to start my own thing to give her that. And out of that, I just found love for coaching kids, bro.
Wow.
I never saw myself coaching young ladies. But now that I'm in it, I don't see myself doing it any other way than I'm doing it.
Wow.
We were just talking in the back. I got three kids of my own, but I got 60 to 65 young ladies that I all consider my kids that's under our umbrella, under our tutelage. And so, you know, that's one of the best ways that I've been able to have a meaningful, direct impact on my environment, on my community. You know, it's one thing to do a turkey drive or a backpack drive and you just giving out stuff, but I'm literally growing up with these kids and learning them fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th grade that we work with. And it's just, it's an amazing experience. It's something that saved my life, you know, because when you retire, everybody act like they got all the answers.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to run up $1 billion. The reality is you got a lot of days that you don't have nothing to do. You don't have nothing to spend your time on. You don't know what your future look like. You don't know what you're passionate about besides, you know, what you're known for. And for me, that was basketball. And so my daughter blessed me, man. She put me in a position to coach youth sports. And, you know, we growing and we elevating by the day. We just had tryouts today. So, you know, probably by tomorrow we'll have another 15, 20 young ladies under our umbrellas, you know. So shout out to them. Shout out Winners United Basketball.
Make some noise, man. Make some noise. Man, I just want to say, man, first of all, thank you for coming.
Appreciate you having me, man. I feel like I owed you a solid, man. Scotty did me a favor by allowing one of my artists on his platform. Scotty had a show, also was going to go out on tour, extended the olive branch for us to be a part of that. You know, so, you know, we bonded from that. You know, we ain't the closest of friends, but you just been solid with me, my brother, and I just wanted to be solid back and return that favor. So much love to that.
For those who don't know, his artist we're talking about is Akeem Ali.
Yes, indeed.
Who's also a part of.
Yes, indeed. I love that. Yeah. I love it. That makes my day right there. I appreciate it.
Tap in, man. You're doing so much, man, from, having your hand in the music culture to being in the community to breaking barriers and, you know, really showing people what the bar is to what you can do and what you can be. I'm sure if some kid right now thinking, man, I want to be like Lou Williams. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, just don't be scared to fail because I'm losing right now. I ain't going to cap y'all down.
Nah, you ain't losing at all, man.
You know, but I'm fighting.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm fighting. It's just a lot. You know, I'm trying my hand at a lot of stuff and I'm just getting out of my comfort zone with, you know, like you're saying, wearing a lot of different hats, you know, and having people from Akeem Ali down to, you know, these young ladies allowing me to have stock in their future and feeling like I can push them forward. So to have their responsibility, I wear that hat proudly, man. I've earned that position and, you know, I'm working to it day in and day out, man, just being better at it.
No doubt, man. Yeah, no doubt, man. Sure. Hey, listen, man, we want to thank you for coming by. Shout out to my co-host, Erica Dutchess, man.
Dutch, you ain't even asked no questions, Dutch.
Oh, you didn't answer? Well, you said, did you want to ask him something?
The thing about lifestyle is like,
Lou. Hey, look, we gotta talk about this. Yeah. I ain't gonna put you out there too much, but I'm fucking with you. Like, that's some cool shit. I ain't mad at you, bro.
Because
he didn't answer my question though.
Okay, answer the question.
I mean,
the thing about the lifestyle, you was about to say
the
something.
The thing about the lifestyle is that's when people see you doing something, that's the energy you attract. So that's the energy you attract.
What that mean, Lou?
Yeah, what that mean, Lou?
That mean
he's still winning.
Winning there.
Okay, all right, you winning there.
Yeah,
a different team.
Definitely a different roster. I wouldn't say a roster.
Okay.
I ain't gonna trick myself out of position. I ain't gonna trick myself out of position by saying I got a roster. What I will say is I have very good understandings in my life and I got peace.
Smart answer, man. I like this, man. This guy's been in media training for sure. Yeah. Hey man, Erica, did he answer a question?
He told me that in the back. I'm ready for whatever. I'm media trained.
Yeah.
He is.
I said you can ask me whatever you want. Now, whether you get the answer you want, you're going to get the answer.
You have all girls?
What? My kids?
Yeah, hold on. You got to clarify that. I was about to answer that shit. What the fuck? Yeah, he got all girls. You better not play my dad like that no more.
Nah, I got.
I got.
Okay.
I got three kids. I got two beautiful young ladies and one handsome son, man.
Okay. Okay, all right. Yeah. Clarify that.
No, I got three. Yeah, I'm three and out. I'm three and out.
Yeah, E.
Wait the fuck?
No, no, no.
Yeah, that was crazy. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you
at all. Nah, for sure.
New Face, you had a question?
Yeah, I wanted one of my favorite stories about Lou Will, the experience he had with Allen Iverson. Mm. And I would love for you to share on the platform. I think he left a book bag.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell you the truth. So, I was a rookie.
Okay.
So how the NBA work? All the vets they pick a rookie. So AI naturally like, that's my rook. But my name, he never called me Lou. This is I was still Lewis at that time. You gotta earn the right to cut your name down.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So I was still Lewis at that time. But to him, I was Young Pump. That was my name, Young Pump.
Okay.
So I get a call like 3 a.m, like, Young Pump, come to my room. Like, cool. Go to his room, knock on the door. Hands me a bag. Keep my bag until the morning. All right, cool. So I keep his bag. So let me paint this picture up. Allen Iverson is a god to me.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So, the fact that we even teammates and I know this dude is, but now I got his personal property. So what any 17-year-old kid gonna do with an Allen Iverson bag?
Go in.
I'm going in that bag. I got to see what's in this bag.
No, you did.
I got to see what's in this bag.
Boom.
So I get to my room. This is before FaceTime, by the way. We had T-Mobile sidekicks. So I'm hitting all the homies on AOL Instant Messenger, all the sidekick like, yo, I got his bag. They like, well, what's in it? So we had the first pictures, the grainy pictures.
Right.
So I go in the bag. He got a mountain of jewelry. Like, literally, I'm holding two hands worth of expensive diamonds, chains,
no.
Watches. I got all his jewelry. He liked to gamble, so he had a bunch of cash, too. Take all the cash out. I put the cash on the ironing board, and I'm taking pictures.
You did.
I'm a 17-year-old kid, and I got AI bag. Yeah, hell yeah. I'm taking pictures, sending it to the homies. Put everything back in the bag. Next morning, I get on the bus. And playfully, I throw him his bag. I throw it in his lap. He opened the bag up. Go in the bag. Take all the jewelry out. Put the money back in the bag. Zip it up and threw me the bag back. And let me keep the cheese.
No.
He let me keep all the money.
For real?
He went, right there on the bus. He opened the bag, took all his jewelry out, put his jewelry on the seat, zipped the bag back up and threw it back to me and let me keep the money. Wow. 17 years old.
He was
old.
Testing you. He was trying to see if you were going to be solid.
I don't know if that's what he was doing. It ain't my liberty to say, but he let me keep that money. But I will say this. That was one of 100 experiences I've had with him like that. Like down to... one time we standing in the hallway, my mom, we just having a conversation. My mom just talking about going to the casino. He butts into the conversation like, you going to the casino? I'm trying to. He told my mom, you can follow me. He had a convoy of cars. At this time, the Escalades had just came out.
Right.
The Escalades was a new truck. He had four of them. He had four black Escalades. He told my mom, she had like a rental car, some regular shit. He had my mom in the middle of his convoy, and they drove to Atlantic City from Philadelphia, and he took my mom to the casino and gave her money to gamble all night. So like that was the type of relationship we had. I'm his legit little brother, man. And to this day, he's still pouring to me. He'll call me randomly, make me put my kids on the phone. Talk to my girls. My daughter wear number 3 because of him.
Wow.
So for them to have that camaraderie and him actually developing a relationship with my oldest daughter, cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Bubba Chuck is one for the ages. My real deal big brother.
Man, yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah. Shout out to New Face too, man. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? New Face has his own segment. on the show is
cultural historian, way bigger than hip hop. Cultural historian, yes, indeed.
Wow, man, thank you, man. We've been blessed, man, by everything you had to say, and I'm sure a lot of people found out things about you that they probably didn't know. I know I learned a lot man, just from hearing.
How you get in the grills, bro?
You know what, man? One of my partners, I was just telling Bobby in the back that one of my homies asked me at the studio to go check this guy's grill shop out. And I went, I checked it out. I thought it was okay. He gave me a couple free gold teeth. And I left and I went to the strip club.
Yeah.
In the daytime.
Yeah. That's the
daytime
best
time is the shit. See, if you're really on some player shit, you go in the daytime, go get you something to eat. Right? But anyway.
A lot less stressful during the day.
Come on, man. Yes, you know what I'm saying? So I went. And I ran into my homeboy. He just lost his job, and he was a dental assistant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bro, what you about to do now? He said, I want to make grills. And so I said, we can go up there right now. And we did. And that's literally how I got started, you know.
That's fine.
Yep.
That's fine, man. I love everything you're doing, man. From us developing a friendship, bro, you always hustling, you always grinding, always got your hands tied to something, bro, and you be moving, man. That's what's up.
Thank you, man.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, man.
Yes, indeed. All
right, man, y'all make some noise one more time for Lou Wills, man. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, make sure you follow us, man, live on Edgewood TV. Shout out to our sponsors, Not Yet, Dutch Leaf. We in this thing. We out this thing, man. Grills by Scotty, Scotty ATL. Let's go.